three questions we need to remember are the three questions listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Here's the first question. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Here's the second. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? And here's the third. Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? The antithesis of glorying in the Lord only is pride. The very opposite of glorying in the Lord only is pride. That was the thing that caused Lucifer to fall in the beginning. I'm persuaded that just from the fact that how fallen men despise Christ having the preeminence, that when Lucifer heard Christ would have the preeminence in eternity, it's when he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. The first thing listed in the abominations that the Lord hates is a proud look. Pride is a deceiver. It's a deceiver. You know, when you watch all the stars on television, like at award shows and things, they really believe what everybody's telling them. They really do. They really do think they are what everybody's telling them. You can tell. You can tell. Pride's a deceiver. It's a deceiver. It's the heart of all division. It's the heart of all strife. There's none so proud as those that call themselves humble of all. When this ugly thing starts to bubble up within us, these three questions are what we need to remember. Who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now here's what I want you to see. If there's any difference, God did it. If you have anything, God gave it. And we have no one to glory in but God only. Who maketh thee to differ from another? In our natural state, as we're born into this world, there is no difference between anybody. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference at all. And yet, even as believers, still in our flesh dwells no good thing. And in our flesh still, there's nothing different about us. Our most noble deeds are still in themselves filthy. Our flesh is dying every day, just like a leaf in the fall. Our iniquities take us away in an instant. And if it weren't for the power of God, the grace of God who says that He will subdue our iniquities, that sin shall not have dominion over us, if it weren't for His power working in us, we'd forsake our God and His mercies in an instant. Every one of us sitting here that believe Him. Now that's so. Well, there is something that is different about a believer, though. There is a difference. And we'll get to that here in a moment. But here's the question. Who maketh thee to differ? Who maketh thee to differ? When the children of Israel were in bondage, look with me over here at Exodus chapter 11. When the children of Israel were in bondage, this is a picture, a good illustration for us. You know there was no difference between the children of Israel who were in bondage and the Egyptians? There was no difference in them. They were all alike in bondage. It's just that one worm had the other worm in bondage. Had them actually in slavery, but they were all in bondage, every one of them, every one of them. But God declares who made the difference. Look at Exodus 11:4. Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even in the king's house, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, that is from the least to the greatest, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And that's how the difference is made. The Lord puts the difference between. In sovereign electing grace, it's the Lord who puts the difference between men and men. God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. This is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about, and if we're going to be brought to his glory, it's going to be by God's sovereign prerogative, by his choice. The grace of Christ's redemptive blood makes his children to differ from others. He came to where we are, he lived, and he died, and he redeemed his children out of bondage, out from the guilt of sin, and he redeemed us out of the power of sin so that he can send forth the Holy Spirit and free us from sin's dominion in spirit and in truth. Christ did this. Revelation 5:9 says, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The grace of the Holy Spirit's effectual call makes his children to differ. Look over at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Well, who keeps you to differ as you go through this life believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you do that? God does that too. He makes us to differ. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And look with me at Matthew 25, verse 31. There's coming a day when Christ speaks and he raises all from the dead. And there's going to come a day in resurrection glory when God shall declare he's made the difference, even in resurrection glory. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. This is the grace of God, and he is the only one who makes thee to differ. All right, here's the next question. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Well, are you a new creature? Have you been created anew in righteousness and true holiness by the Spirit of God? Well, we didn't have anything to do with that. That was given to us. Created by God, the Spirit, the Lord said, the Spirit quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, he said, their spirit and their life. Well, have you repented? Have you believed on Christ? God gave that to you. Ephesians 2:8 says, "By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, have you been justified? Have you been sanctified? Have you been made righteous? That's a gift, a gift, and a gift. Every bit of it. As such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All a gift. Do you bear fruit? Look at Galatians 5:22. Do you bear fruit? If you're a believer, you do. Is that a gift? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. That means that's where it came from. That's who produced it. That means it was a gift to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it matters greatly how we live. That matters a great deal. Are you zealous for good works? Are you zealous for good works? If you are, that's a gift too. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Turn over to Titus 2 again with me. I want you to see this. Titus 2. It matters greatly if we serve the Lord and follow after Him. We're zealous for good works. Where do we learn these things? Who teaches us these things in the heart and gives us a heart and a willingness, a desire to honor our God? Titus 2:11. "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." That's how we're taught. It's the grace of God that brings salvation, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He, this is what He's done, might redeem us from all iniquity, and that He might purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And that's what He's done. That's what He's done. And it's a gift. If we have a zeal to follow after Him and to walk after Him and to honor Him in all that we do, it's a gift. What about everything that happens in providence in our life? Whether we think it's good or we think it's bad. What about every bit of it that happens in our life? All things work together for good to them who are the called of God, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Everything. If the trial is needful, God will give it, and it's a gift. It really is. If the times are good, it's needful, and God gives them, and it's a gift. And all together, all things by Him are worked together for the good of His children. Every bit of it. It's a gift. Do you have eternal life? The Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the record God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life's in His Son. Well, look at 1 Peter. We've been seeing this some as we've been going through 1 Peter. You have a gift awaiting you that you haven't even seen yet. We don't even know what it's going to be like. We just know it's there and it's ours. Look at 1 Peter 1:4. "An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So what do we have that we didn't receive? If you can think of anything else, it's in this book, and God gave it to you. And I'll leave it to you to find it. But I try to think of everything I could think of that we have that matters to us. And this is all. Everything. So what do we have that we didn't receive? Nothing. We don't have anything that was not freely given to us of God. Nothing in nature, nothing in grace, nothing in time, nothing in eternity. Everything is a gift of God's free grace to His children. Now here's the third question. It's the last question. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? When we're reminded of who makes the difference, God only, reminded that everything that we have, He's given it to us. Doesn't it make us feel like total morons for us to glory as if we didn't receive anything? Doesn't it? The Pharisee stood and he prayed with himself, saying, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. But he wasn't thanking God. He was patting himself on the back. He was saying, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican over here. But Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Turn over to Jeremiah 9. We'll close with this. Jeremiah 9. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let's pray together.